Well, thank the Lord for that song. It's my desire to be led of the Lord. And I'm thankful that He doesn't just drop us off and say, now you're on your own. Good luck, I hope you can find your way. But I'm thankful the Lord has promised to lead us all the way. There's a requirement on our part to be led all the way. Ask for your prayers this morning as I realize that in myself I have nothing to offer you. Pray the Lord to bless His word to our hearts this morning. I'd like to consider, as I've written on the board, voices. Voices. I'd like to begin in the book of Genesis. The first chapter of Genesis, and beginning in the 27th verse. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. A truth that is so lost in our world today. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. The Lord created mankind as, we could say perhaps, His crowning jewel. The last thing that He created. He created all of this earth and the things that are therein, but He created it for a purpose. And He created man, and He put man in the garden, created a helpmeet for man. And I don't believe that Adam awakened as he was first created and was just lost. I don't believe in that period of time that Adam was just isolated off to himself. I read these scriptures. As the Lord was communicating unto Adam, giving Adam understanding of his place and of why I put you here, and you in relation to this creation and the animals and the herbs and all of that. I don't believe in the idea that's taught today of an ignorant or a stupid caveman type version of man that didn't hardly know how to pick up a rock or what to do with it. I believe God created mankind in His image, and I believe He gave unto them, imparted something of Himself, not just His character and all in His spirit, but imparted to him intelligence and understanding. I believe the Lord communicated with Adam and Eve, and that they understood. I wonder if it wasn't perhaps even far more than we understand of the world that is around us. There was a communication that took place with Adam and Eve. Wouldn't it be something to hear the voice of God in the cool of the evening? They heard it. But they also heard another voice. We read about that in the third chapter of Genesis. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, I heard it, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Isn't that just like the Lord, though? The Lord communicated and gave them His law, His requirement. Eve had an understanding of it before she ever partook of it. It wouldn't be like the character of God to just put them in the garden. And there's one tree in here. If you happen to take of that fruit, you're going to die. And they stumble upon it one day and take of it and they die without any knowledge and understanding. That's not how sin works. She had an understanding that had come from God They knew something of the voice of God. And there's a lot that we don't understand, perhaps, of this period of history. But they heard the voice of God. And one day, Eve heard this serpent speaking to her, questioning her. You know, there are a myriad of voices in our world today. To which voice have you been listening? Eve heard a voice from this serpent beginning to question and undermine and bring doubts in her mind of what God had said and of the purpose in the heart of God. Began to reason with her, began to appeal unto her logic and her desires. She hearkened unto the voice. And then we read in the 8th verse, as she did so and gave of her husband Adam to eat, their eyes were opened and they felt a flush of guilt and shame that they hadn't known before. And now whenever the Lord came along again, I don't believe this was the first time the Lord came to pass by Adam and Eve. I don't think this was a new happening. It would seem to me that this was something that the Lord was accustomed to coming and communing with Adam and Eve. And as he did so on this day, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. That's something they had never done before. They had never felt a need to go run and hide from the voice of God. The voice of God had never produced within them what they felt now, of a fear, of a shame, of a need to go and separate myself from the sound of that voice. The Lord still wants to speak to mankind today, and is. You know, I have found His voice to be pleasant. But there's a time where His voice brought such fear on my heart, such dread of the future. You know, His voice can be sweet and precious to us, or it can produce a fear and a dread within us. The thought of hearing His voice and the final trumpet sound can bring a sense of dread or a sense of anticipation to hear His voice on that day. Think about people and how easily influenced mankind is. Eve was influenced by the voice of a serpent. And there have been people throughout time that were influenced by the voices of those around them. I know that people use the analogy, maybe it resonates with you or it doesn't, that it's like there's a voice on each shoulder as we walk through life. One whispering the good and the right into our ear, and the other whispering and suggesting just like the serpent did. The question is, to whose voice will we listen? Will we listen to the voices of those that are around us? They are many. Thinking of Rehoboam, we'll turn and look at a little bit of that story. Won't spend a lot of time here, but 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. There was an assembly that had come to Rehoboam as he had ascended to the throne. And they said in verse 4, "Thy father hath made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee." And he said unto them, "Depart ye for 3 days, then come again to me." And the people departed. King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, "How do you advise that I may answer this people? They spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer? Saying, This people have spoken unto me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins, and whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Quite a contrast between the counsel of these two different groups of people that he sought counsel from. And you know, in our world, there are a myriad of voices. There are a myriad of sources that you can go to seek counsel, to ask for advice. You can say, Hey Siri, what should I do? You can go to ChatGPT, if you know what that is, and have artificial intelligence suggest to you what you ought to do. You can Google a question and get as many answers as you want. You can go and sort through them and pick the one you like and go with that. There is a myriad of voices in our world today. Think of, and of course in this case, Rehoboam was influenced by the voices of his peers suggesting and giving counsel. Think about Job's wife in his difficulty. Whenever everything had gone wrong, his wife was right there for him, saying, Why don't you just curse God and die? There's a voice. There's a voice from someone real close to you. What do we do with the voices around us? You know, we can be influenced by voices. Sure we can. I can be influenced by people around me, by those that are close to me. Whose voice are we listening to? Well, think of Samson. He heard the voice of his parents chiding. But no, I don't want one of our women. I want that one over there. And he insisted on it, and he got her. And he heard her voice. Oh, Samson, tell me the source of your strength. And again, Samson, tell me really now, what is the source of your strength? Over and over again, this voice coming to him, suggesting, wearing on him. Samson, you don't love me. Or you would have told me your secret. And finally, this voice influenced him, pressured him, got him to the point that he succumbed. We read about in the 7th chapter of Proverbs, and I'm not just picking on women here, but we read about in the 7th chapter of Proverbs that the simple man, the one that passed by the corner of her street, and as he looked out the casement of the window and beheld the scene unfolded, this woman came and met him, and with much speech and fair words, she persuaded him. The world has a voice, and the world is calling. I believe it was in Greek mythology. It talks about the siren call. Remember that? There was something about the call, the song of the women on this island, that was so enticing that many many a ship. The men on it had been influenced and drawn and redirected their course toward that island and had been shipwrecked. There's a siren call in our world today, calling for our children, calling for our young people, voices that are suggesting, voices that are enticing, voices that are calling after our young and our middle age and our old alike. I want us to consider this morning, whose voice have we been influenced by? Whose voice have we been listening unto? There is a voice in our world today that says, this is the way you are to look. This is what is presentable and beautiful and attractive. There are voices over our radio waves today, or Spotify and all the channels that you can access through music. Voices that call. Voices that beckon. Voices that glamorize a life of sin. Well, think about the ability of mankind to be influenced. And I might think, oh, I am my own person. You know, a lot of people in this world think, I dress the way I want. Ain't nobody going to tell me how to dress. Really? Then why do you look like all the rest of them? Isn't anybody going to tell me what color my hair is going to be? You know, mankind is more influenced than he likes to admit. The thing about the crowd who was assembled just a few days after throwing branches in the road before Jesus. And I kind of imagine maybe it was just a few that started the chant. You know, that's kind of how it works. Maybe just a voice or two here and there. Maybe it started with some murmur. We ought to crucify him anyway. And it began to build. Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! And I wonder if there weren't some who were swept along with the emotion of it all. Surely not all of them had this premeditated desire in their heart to see Christ crucified. But how many of them were caught up in the current? Were caught up in the fevered pitch of those that were around them? And how many people in our world have been caught up in the fevered pitch of satisfying the flesh and pursuing after the things of this world? How many people have been caught up by and influenced by? Maybe I look around and my heart is grieved to think of saints' children and grandchildren, as we heard the request today, that grew up knowing what a wholesome and godly home is, knowing what it is to have true righteousness in their life, throw it all away to pursue the emptiness of the world. Like the prodigal son that threw away all the father had to go try to eat the pig's food. Why? You've been listening to the wrong voices. You know, there is a place that we have to say, I'm not listening. There's a place that we have to tell the devil, I don't need to hear what you have to say. This is non-negotiable. I'm not going to entertain your logic and your reasoning. You think it might have been different for Eve and Adam? If Eve first had said, God said no, I don't need to hear anything else. I don't need to hear your reason. I don't need to hear your explanation. I don't need to sit here and explain to you. I don't need to debate with you. I don't want anything to do with it. And turned and gone the other way and partaken of some of the good fruit on the rest of the trees. I wonder if it would have been different for Eve. Or had she continued as she did, if Adam would have said, honey, it grieves my heart But you might go that way. I'm going to remain true to God. Might it have been different? Every one of us have a choice. Eve went and blamed the serpent. And then Adam went and blamed Eve. Every one of us have a choice. Whose voice are we going to listen to? Because that's where it starts. There's a voice. There's a suggestion. There's something whispered unto our minds and our thoughts. And we have the decision to make. Am I going to listen? Am I going to entertain it? Am I going to stay here in this place where this voice is calling me? You know, I might think I'm strong. But if you stay in the devil's territory, where you're within earshot of the devil, don't expect that you're going to be able to withstand his logic. He is more subtle than any. There is a place and a time that we have to say, I'm out of here. There was a place and a time where Joseph said, I don't need to stand around and talk and reason. I'm out of here. You can have my coat. I'm gone. There was a time whenever Nehemiah was undertaking the responsibility of leading the people to rebuild the walls of the city that had been destroyed. Remember that? And there were some that didn't like that. Sanballat was one of those. And he tried everything he could to stop the Jews from rebuilding the walls of the city. One of the things he did, and it seemed harmless enough, he sent a messenger saying, hey, Nehemiah, come on down to the plain of Ono. We'd like to talk with you. Well, that seems harmless enough, doesn't it? Well, sure, we'll take a day off and we'll go meet up with Sanballat and see what he has to say. You know what his response was? Well, he recognized, for one, that he thought to do me mischief. And he said, no, we're not coming. We have a great work before us. I don't have time for you. I don't have time for this. I don't have time to stop the work of the Lord and come down here and negotiate and discuss and debate with the enemies of the cross. In our day, not then, with the enemies of God's work. I don't have time for that. I know what you're trying to do. Folks, don't negotiate with the devil. Don't get on his territory. Don't go down where he's dwelling. Don't stop what you know to be doing. What you know God gave you to do. The work that you know God gave for you to do. Some people will say, I don't know what to do. Do what you know to do. Do what you know is right. And when you hear a voice calling you and saying, let's talk about it. You know, you believe that this is wrong. You say you have a conviction about this. You know what? Come aside here for a little while. Let's talk about this. Folks, we need to be careful whose voice we're entertaining. There were many voices in the New Testament church. It was one of Paul's great burdens. Lest someone else should come and preach unto you another gospel. Beware! Take heed! Beware of false teachers and grievous wolves that come in among you. Be careful of that. Because they too, with fair speech and compelling words, can make a very compelling case. Oh, folks, Lord, help us to be on our guard. This is not about me just being closed-minded and saying, you know what, this is what I was raised believing. So I'm going to hold on to that and nothing's going to move me from it. It's about the question, whose voice are you listening to? I want to be open-minded, but I want to be open-minded to the voice that I have learned that is so sweet and whispers life to my soul. I want to be open to that voice. And when I hear a voice that does not resonate with that, I don't want to entertain that. We need to know the voice of God. We need to be able to recognize the voice of His Spirit. Because there is a cacophony of voices. You know what a cacophony is? It is a chaotic and a jarring mixture of sound. Just, oh, it's a din, it's a commotion, it's a noise that's just from every hand, every sound, every noise. You know what happens when you're in that kind of an environment? You can't pick out and decipher and discern one sound from another. In the midst of all that commotion and noise and sound, it's hard. I was on a call the other day, a conference call at work, and there were several conversations going on in the room that I was calling into. And I couldn't tell what was going on at all. I'd try to focus in on this conversation, and then I could hear these other voices talking, and then I could hear some other voices, and I couldn't, it was confusing. There is a cacophony in our world of voices that call, that are suggesting, hey, here's the way. Hey, here's Christ over here. Hey, here's the straight and narrow. Hey, we found the way over here. And all these voices blend into one chaotic sound. It gets closer than that. There are all kinds of voices that say, we know the way of holiness. Born and raised Church of God. We know the doctrines. This is the way. This has changed a little bit. We have more light on Revelation or on prophecy or on this line and some new light here. Be careful of the voice. Say, well, it's easy for you, one of many preachers, to say. Be careful my voice. Listen for the voice of the shepherd. Every one of us have got to know the voice of the Lord for ourselves. How do you? I don't know a shortcut but to spend time with the Lord, but to be with Him, to commune with the Lord, so that you recognize His voice. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice and they know me. Remember one time when I was in Germany, brother that raised sheep was telling me that his sheep one night were stolen. And he somehow got some information as to they might have been loaded on a train that was nearby and headed in a certain direction. And so he went to the next train stop and told the police about it. And they met him there. And sure enough, there's a whole bunch of sheep. How are you ever going to prove when one sheep looks like another sheep? How are you ever going to prove that one's yours? And this brother began to talk. And as he was talking, there were some heads that began to pop up in the flock. One over here and one over there. They heard something they recognized. And one after another, they started moving in the direction of this brother. They recognized his voice. And you could know which sheep were his. Folks, in the cacophony of religious confusion in our world today, I believe the answer is simple. Listen for the voice of the shepherd. I want to be one of those that hears and recognizes his voice in all the noise that's around us, in all the ideas and teachings and philosophies and all of that. Lord, help me to be able to accept the simplicity of the gospel and to recognize the sound of your voice. Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Wisdom here is personified. 8th chapter of Proverbs, to say, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Oh, it says in the chief concourses, at the gates, at the high places, the places of the paths where all the people are converging and passing. And we know what it's like in the downtown of a city, maybe a lot of foot traffic, a lot of people mixing and mingling. Even in a restaurant, perhaps you go into a restaurant and one person at this table begins speaking at a certain level of, or certain volume. Well, the table next to them maybe raises it just a decibel or two so that they can hear what they're saying over that table. And then the next table raises it a little bit more until suddenly the noise level in the whole place is so loud that nobody can hear. And almost picture something like this in the street. The hustle and bustle and busyness and everybody going their own ways. All kinds of people crying out. Maybe street vendors over here calling out and selling their wares. And in the midst of it, there's wisdom crying out to whoever will listen, to whoever will hear and recognize the voice of wisdom and turn aside from all the chaos and the busyness and the bustle of life. Wisdom utters her voice. Oh, ye simple ones, turn aside. Listen to the voice of wisdom. Generation after generation, the voice of wisdom still cries out. It still cries out to our world. You know, I believe the voice of wisdom still cries out in the halls of Congress. Is it being hearkened to? Is it being heard? Or is philosophy today replacing the voice of wisdom? Or our progressive ways and our intelligence taking the place of the need of this little voice of wisdom over in the corner? She cries, and everyone that hears, she'll utter her voice. Oh, do we ever need wisdom in our day and in our lives? Lord, help me to hear the voice of wisdom, to hearken unto it. I think about the song, A New Creature. Maybe we could sing a verse of that.
Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the whole life of folly and sin. Satan may call, the world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within. Dead to the world, to voices that call me. Living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. Yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me.
To the voices that call me, are you dead? Or is it like a receiver that picks up all those radio waves? You know, our spirit can be that. You know, our spirit and our heart, depending on what our heart cries after, we're going to pick up those voices. The enemy will see to it that I hear the voices. If my heart is turning towards the world, oh, I'll be able to pick up the voices of the world loud and clear. But if I'll be willing to die to sin, if I'll be willing to die out to the flesh and turn my back on it and fix my eyes on the Savior, when those voices call, it can be like what Jesus said. The prince of this world comes, but he doesn't have anything in me. There is no voice within me that answers. And I pray the Lord to help us that that would be the place that we're in. Dead to the voices of the enemy and the world and things that would entice me to the ways of the world, but alive instead unto Christ. But this voice likely is not going to be thundering above all the other voices, so that you can't help but hear it. That time's coming. But now, His voice is like a still small voice that you have to intend to listen to, that you have to turn and intentionally listen. It can easily be overridden, turned away from, and other voices turned unto. But there is still today a still small voice calling. We have to be willing to put out the noise of this world, the commotion of all these other voices, and get still and quiet and listen for His still small voice. Let's not be hasty to respond to a cacophony of confusing voices, but to set ourselves, be still, and say, Lord, would You speak to my heart? When the Lord speaks, we can know it. You know the enemy tries sometimes, though, to disguise his voice. You ever have someone, back before we had caller ID, that was a time, that you pick up the phone, well, hello, how are you? And in those few words, your mind is trying to process, who is this? Do I know this individual? Have I heard? And if it's someone that you've talked to often, it doesn't take more than hello. Oh, hi, Mom. Or hi. I know the voice. I've talked to them so often, I recognize the voice. Someone I haven't talked to very often, I might have to strain and keep talking a little bit. Or who is this? Before I can know. Remember, as a child, there would be times that we'd try to play a prank on a friend and call and disguise your voice and try to sound like somebody else. You know, the enemy comes and tries to disguise his voice, even as an angel of light. Well, doesn't the Scripture say that His angels will bear you up, Jesus? Get behind me, Satan. I know that voice. The word of the Lord says, it is written, so get behind me. Lord, help us to be able to be that quick to discern the voice of the enemy. Sometimes we can be in this quandary for a little bit. Are these my thoughts? Or is this the Lord speaking? Or is this the devil messing with me? And it's not always that apparent immediately. You ever have the devil come along, who is also called the accuser of the brethren? You ever have the devil come along and say, boy, you didn't say that right. And there's some truth to it. You know, even when the devil tells the truth, he lies. So the enemy may come along and point out something. He'd love to come along and point out sins that are already under the blood. Oh, I did commit that. You're not worthy. No, I'm not worthy. And I hear these voices, and they're true, and they seem reasonable. But I want us to ask ourselves, when we hear a voice, what does it produce? What does it result in your life and in your heart? You know, the voice of the Lord, He knows how to chastise and chase him. You know, even when he does, there's something in the chastening of a father that you feel is love. That you can hear when the Lord comes along and points out a fault in your life. He'll do that. I pray. I pray that he'll show me places that I need to work on. And when he does, he'll offer me the hope. He'll offer me the help. He'll offer me the grace to do something about it. So if you hear a voice saying, well, look at this in your life. Look at the way you are over here. Look at this thing that you... And I say, oh, You're right. And it results in me saying, oh, woe is me. I can't do anything right. I'm never going to be able to make it. I can't do anything for the Lord. I'm never going to be... All right. Whose voice? That's the enemy. The enemy is the one that works condemnation and guilt and despair and hopelessness and discouragement. So the voices that bring that, reject. The Lord is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of hopelessness. He's not the author of despair. He's not the author of discouragement. So if you hear a voice that brings any of that, get behind me. I'm not listening to that voice. But oh, the sweet, still, small voice. When we hear it and can recognize. I think of, along with the idea of the sheep, as we close here. You ever study penguins? We're not too accustomed to them in our country. But if you were to travel to Antarctica, or if you've studied them, or maybe seen a documentary or something about these penguins, you know they all look alike to me. I don't know how you tell one from another, and they get together in a, what do you call it, a bunch of penguins. A bunch of penguins, colony, brood, herd, whatever, flock, whatever you want to call them. A bunch of them get together. There might be 50,000, 100,000 of them all looking the same, all making their little sound that penguins make. And you know, one of them will go out to sea to retrieve food for the young. And come back, sometimes months later. And now I got the task of finding my mate and the family. Amid 100,000 penguins that all look the same. How are you going to do that? You know that penguin that's returning lifts up its head and makes a cry. And he listens amid the voices of all the other penguins doing the same. And he can pick out the voice of his mate. Lord, help us to know the voice of our Lord. Amen. And when there's so much confusion and so much cacophony and noise all around us, listen. Be still and listen for the voice of the Lord. And when you recognize it, it's safe to follow Him. Think about where Hebrews 11:1, I think it said, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto our fathers through the prophets. A lot of different ways the Lord spoke. A lot of different ways He communicated His will. Through dream, through vision, through revelation, through angel. In these last days He's spoken unto us by His Son. Whenever Peter, I believe, wanted to make a shrine unto the three there on Mount of Transfiguration, he heard a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. You listen to His voice. And that's what I recommend to us this morning. Hear ye Him. Listen to His voice. Follow His voice. He'll never lead you wrong. Learn the voice of the Lord. Reject the voice of the enemy and allow ourselves to be influenced by and led by the voice of the Lord. You pray for me. Amen.